Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Glad to have you again this Thursday night, May the 17th, 2018. And indeed, it is open mic night. So I feel a tad bit empty. I have no particular monologue. We don't have a theme topic for tonight. We don't have a specific question. And that's because we open the floor to you, our listening audience. Thank you all for joining us over the last 2 years here on Talk Straight, and those you have called and participated. I anticipate having Pastor Ricky Waller come in. It's your time. Whatever you talk about, whatever you bring up, we'll talk about it. You can call us live here, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call in, and just give us your thoughts, your questions, your comments. Perhaps you've listened to some things we've discussed, and you have perhaps an issue or question about it, or you would like to add an additional thought. Good time. It's open mic. It's on you. Again, this show is sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, which is a offshoot of Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated, a 501c3 non-for-profit organization based in Nashville, Tennessee. Organized in 1998 by yours truly. The focus is providing support with families in dealing with dysfunctional issues on a variety of levels, but primarily providing them knowledge about resources and opportunities, referring them when needed to health services or other things beyond our purview, as well as working to develop proactive social models to help improve the overall quality of life for children and their families. So, we're here tonight. Hey, it's you all against me. Give me a call, 657-383-0944. It's open mic night. Whatever you want to talk about, we can. And we'll just continue to lead some conversation until our callers call in. Let me, while we got it, since it's about you, let me just kind of go over here and call some names out. Uh-oh, what? You calling names out? No, Cole Better, if you're listening to us, thank you. We appreciate you joining us. Brother Kennedy, who's has joined us in the past, appreciate him. Willie Robinson, you're listening to us, thank you, sir. Feel free to give us a call here. Just Dorcas, the author, bless you. Thank you for getting with us. Robert Taylor, Valerie Brooks, Sylvia Womack. Hey. How are you doing? Looks like Anna Sutton. If you guys are listening and you're following us on Facebook, we appreciate that, and we want you to know that. I cannot overlook Annette Wall Jones, a good classmate, former classmate of mine that lives in, I believe, the Atlanta area. Ben Jordan, thank you for following us there. Of course, Professor Robertson has been with us, and perhaps he will join us tonight. I think that's about everybody that we can detect now, but we appreciate you, whoever you are, wherever you are. Those of you that have been listening from the blog talk platform as well, we appreciate that. Roma Diaz just joined us. Jill Taylor has just joined us, along with Robert Taylor. I believe we probably mentioned him already. But this is about you guys. It's open mic for Talk Straight. Want to give you an opportunity to share your questions, your ideas, your thoughts. And I want to listen from you. I've been learning quite a bit over the last few couple of years on this show, and I want you all to kind of share with me. We strive to be accurate and to provide some context for the positions or the statements that I make as a host for the show. And as the primary researcher and lecturer for BSC Institute's Traveling Lecture Series, you've heard us talk about that on the show. And basically what it focuses on is the challenge that particularly young men have understanding why it is they tend to be so angry and volatile, specifically across urban America. And I've mentioned times past that different ones have questioned why do we focus on that so heavily, simply because that's where the data takes us. When we seek to understand high crime rates, we seek to understand school dropout and those who are most prevalent and at risk to those things, those who are most likely to be homeless in many cases at a certain age range, within a certain age range. Those who are most likely to father a child and not be in a position to adequately assist or take full control of raising that child. Some of these are the indicators or the risk factors, as we might say in social sciences. But so, there you go. My experiences over the last 25 years as a pastor, as a non-for-profit founder and executive, as a public school educator, as a community advocate, and now you all have heard me mention, perhaps if you happen to view this, it'll be news to you, that I am again the candidate, but this time in the Tennessee 19th Senatorial District. So we seek to go to the upper house of the Tennessee General Assembly, and to be able to make a difference legislatively for some 192,000 souls that are in the Senate district, roughly, based on the latest census count. And more importantly, we want to continue what we've been doing, and that's to advocate for people. Now, Talk Straight. We're live. This is your opportunity. I'm going to go to somebody who has said that they want to say something, and that's my good friend, the late, great Isaac Hayes. You might say this is somewhat of a theme song for me in this year, but let's listen in, and then you give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Don't be afraid. I'm not a bugger. I may be ugly, but I ain't going to bite you. I promise you. I promise you. But I the case.
Thank you.
They referred to him as the Black Moses. Isaac Hayes, late great 70s, he was a part of an era where the expression of the Afro-American experience was greatly rendered. And if you wanted to understand where a people were coming from in America, especially all across urban America, you can peep Isaac Hayes and cats like Donny Hathaway and the stylistics and folk like that, and you can understand where they were coming from. You can appreciate their plight because you can feel it in their music. Of course, you hear the OJs quite often. I mean, that's where they were. Hutchins. These cats were speaking. Marvin Gaye telling about what's going on. This is a vital part of the social expression. We got callers on the line here. We're going to open up the line. 657-383-0944. My good friend, Pastor Ricky Wallace, with us tonight, as well as 1098. 1098, how you doing, man?
Good, good.
I missed you the other day.
Okay.
I don't know what was going on with your line, but we couldn't hear you.
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I fell asleep. Really, honestly.
You didn't do me like that, big brother.
Look at her. Hey, I'm going to tell the truth, but she ain't the devil.
All right.
When I woke up,
Man.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize.
Hey, no, I still love you, big brother. Hey, it's open mic night.
No,
give
open
it to
up
me like that. Just shoot it at me. Whatever you do, you hear what Zeke said. Whatever you do, do your thing, man. That's your thing. Pastor Ricky Waller, how you doing, sir?
Man, I'm good. Thank you. How you doing, Pastor Doctor?
Oh, man, Mighty Fan, what's your thing right now, man? You want to do your thing? Go and do your thing.
Yeah, my thing is being able to listen and hear something, you know, that that would be beneficial. Yeah, so I'm
good,
man.
Well, you know, I'm trying to do something here, Pastor, in 1098. I'm trying to shut my mouth a little bit and listen to somebody else.
No,
so
no,
y'all
no.
Help me with this. This is a tough experiment, man.
All right. You can handle it?
Uh-oh. I asked my wife one time, gentlemen. I asked her, what do you think I do best? She quickly, run your mouth. I said, wait a minute now. You answered that too fast. But
oh, man.
That's the gift that God gave us. We're going to use it, the gift of gab.
All right.
Anything you guys want to talk about tonight in particular?
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm back now. I'll talk to my dog.
Oh,
they're growling.
Help me out here. Give me something you want to talk about tonight. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, you were talking about the Afro-American experience. I would like to touch on that a little bit, you know.
Okay.
Here in the United States of America. Here in the United States of America, as you know, we've been called everything, black, colored, Negro.
Right.
Then we went to Afro-American. I think before then, yeah, we went to Afro-American. And then
In the 70s.
That came in, this crap. Now we're called African-American. I realized one thing. At the end of the day, I am a part of it. Negro at race. I'm going back to anthropology. I'm a part of the Negro at race. You got Aborigines and all different shades of dark-skinned people that come from different parts of the world.
Sure.
Africa is only a part of the Negro at race. This is something that has never been touched on thoroughly here in the United States of America. We accept what the Uncle Tom Negro and the white man put together for us to call themselves. I truly don't know which sector of the Negro race that I fit in, but I only know that I am a part of the Negro race. Africa is only a part of the Negro race. And this is something, you know, that haven't been elaborated on thoroughly. From my point of view, Malcolm X, he was bringing it to the forefront when he mentioned the Aboriginal people being here in the United States of America. And, you know, it's not mind-boggling to me because if I actually want to know truly what subgroup I fit in, I'm quite sure, you know, that I can find that. I don't identify with Afro-American. I don't identify with African-American. I identify with my race as being part of the race. This is something that's not elaborated on. But now I'll hold that.
Do you think there's a particular offense to someone wanting to identify you or classify you as such? Or is it just
that you know better?
Or what's your position?
Too much has been me personally. I take offense to that. You don't classify me the way that you want to classify me. First of all, getting technical, I am not black. I'm brown. I've never seen a real white man a day in my life. I'm talking about the color white. But I've seen black men as black as those streets out there. You know, but I do understand that they use that for identification purposes and things of that nature. All Mongolian people are not Japanese. All of them are not Chinese.
True.
You have subgroups in there also. If you call a Japanese Chinese, that's very offensive.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you. You're absolutely right. They will be offended.
You know, so you're going to label me as being an American. I detest that to the fullest. Take that on back to Jesse Jackson. Perhaps his ancestors started here. He's high yellow. You know, him and his little buddy, Al Sharpton. I think he was akin to one of those presidents. Which one was it? You ever hear about that?
Yeah, I heard something to that. I can't remember which one it was. Something to that effect, yeah.
You know, I don't agree with it. A lot of times, when I put out application, they say other. I just put down Negroid American, or sometimes I just say, you know, Negroid, and I leave it be. I don't identify with Africa. It's stated. They put emphasis on Africa too much. Too much. Now I understand that the slave trade went on and things of that nature. You know, God bless them all. Perhaps, you know, sometimes, somewhere down the line, my lineage was in that. Perhaps not. But Africans and black people have been on this country for thousands of years. They talk about the Indians and the Mexicans talking about 40,000 years. Well, you know, the blacks were here. And speaking, they are of the dark-skinned colored people too, a lot of them.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
In our home.
Okay. Pastor, a comment on that? Any comment on that?
Yeah, I'm just actually listening to some of the things that I think I heard when I tuned in, and that was another question that you asked according to the song that Marvin Gaye was singing and was saying, somebody tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
And when I think about it, was that, you know, if you say you are not this color, you know, I'm this color, and, you know, you got a lot of things going. What's going on here? You know, it's the thing about, you know, God put this world in existence. And I truly do believe that today. I didn't, I guess I nodded for most years of my life, you know, had my head bowed down, so I didn't even know who I was. You know, whoever you say I was that at that time. But today, you know, I discovered he says God is no respecter of a person. You know, so I appreciate that, just knowing that. And someone may say I'm absolutely nothing, you know, in the eyes of some. Some may say I'm what they have always thought of me and things like that. But what do I think of me today? And I have to learn how to deal with that. And as Outkast was saying, you know, he had to put something in particular down. Sometimes I put this down. Sometimes I put that down. In other words, I like to know what's going on. You know, how come I can't just be who I am? Put that on a piece of paper, who you think I am, so you dictate what I should put down, one or the other. And I just heard him just say, he said, "No, I'm brown." You know, okay, so that tells me a lot right there. Who put that stuff in motion anyway? You know, who's responsible for putting
you know,
together
identification?
It's just the thought of knowing that it's been placed in order like that, and who's the shot caller? Who's calling those shots to make that be accurate? To say, because especially if a person could say, "Well, If you want to put down, I'm brown, why shouldn't you be able to put that down and be all right with that? But you got, they got black, African American, this and that and the other down there, or white, or whatever a person may be. And it's amazing that we're talking about this right here. And, you know, how important is it to identify a person when something is going on, whether good or bad? And one may say, well, do you know what color he was, or do you know what color she was, or, you know, things like that. And so, as you say, to identify people, they have to utilize something. But it's amazing, man. You know, when I saw that in the Bible, it says God is no respecter of a person. Man, that to me was uplifting. Because so many times we can type our own self, I mean, and think we are less than who we really are. And I think that has been going for a long time, too.
Absolutely. You know, Pastor, in 1098, historically, there was a practice of mixing white blood with Negro blood. And I use Negro because that's the Spanish word used to identify beginning 1500s slaves that were brought from Africa to Spain and Portugal first, and then later there was a massive slave trade with the transatlantic slave trade. But Negro was the word that was commonly used to identify individuals that were caught up and captured in slavery. I said that to say this, that even in America, after when slavery was going on and so forth, they would mix, the slave masters would mix many of their female slaves, have children with them, and have them to breed with other slaves so that they could have a mixed hue of colors or pigmentations and what have you. And that caused even a rift within the so-called Negro race or group, subgroup. And to this day, there's this hidden war or battle within the Negro, black, colored, or Afro-African-American subculture about who's more important or who's better. You understand? It's a subconscious thing yet still, but it's still real. And so I think your point is well taken, Outcast, that the individual must not allow themselves to become a pawn in that game. Professor Robinson has joined us. Good evening, Professor. How are you, sir?
Good evening. I am doing great. How's everyone doing?
Mighty fine. We were just talking about basically the various nomenclatures or the various classifications historically that has been placed on people of Afro descent in America. Question or comment on that?
Not really. It's really.
You won't leave that alone, huh?
No, not me. I don't leave it alone.
Well, at some point, it's really how are these changes really serving us as it relates to, is it helping to empower? What's the role? What's the strategy behind it? And is it really helping? And because we make a big deal over it, and I'm trying to, why?
Right.
Now, I'm gonna play devil's advocate, gentlemen.
Okay.
And because many within the black intelligentsia would argue that, and we can go all the way back to the Harlem Renaissance era with Claude McKay and people like that who were saying that we have to identify ourselves as a subgroup, and we have to be unified and teach our children to identify themselves as either black or Afro or African-American. Ivan Van Sertima, well-known historian and anthropologist who, you know, really showed where the original people came from the East in the area we now call Africa. You understand what I'm saying? So the pushback is that you all are discouraging our young people from embracing their heritage and their culture. What say you?
Well, what say me is where did their actual heritage actually start? Was it Africa? Was it Europe? Was it Australia? Where did it come from? Going back to anthropology, you know, even though, as you stated, we have subgroups and things of that nature, you know. the darker colored people over in Australia and things of that nature. But the thing is this, I don't knock no one or go against what anyone wants to call themselves. But I can only know what I'm called, what I call myself. I'm sorry.
Okay. So don't get you no jazz. You don't want to go along with that, then. That's what you're saying.
Right. I am a part of the Negroid race. This is what I am a part of. Which part? You know, I don't know. If I was really interested in finding out, I would. But I have a mixture, and my blood is mixed. I have black blood in me, I have white blood in me, and I have Indian blood in me. But I'm a brown skinned man, you know, not black. Now my sisters and things, you know, I got sisters, you know, they bright damn near white, you know, as they would say. And I do understand that. But going back to the mixture of blood and things of that nature, all our blood is mixed to a whole lot of degrees, but we came out to be a certain color, certain hair texture, things of that nature, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, I used to envy Africa. I used to hate Africa with a passion. Why? Because of media, because of the books and things of that nature, you know, how a lot of the slaves, you know, were transported from parts of Africa over into London, to the London Company, and then further shipped on over here in the United States of America. And a lot of them blacks over in Africa, they played a big role in it. They was selling us off. A lot of blacks over there, women too, made a fortune off my office.
Okay.
They made a fortune. But as I got older and I understood, you know, what was going, a lot of the things that were going on in that country, I said, I'm blessed to be in America. You know, even the things that are going on today, you would think that Africa would be a loving, peaceful place, but it's not. You know, they talk about blacks killing blacks in America. What do you think that they're doing over in parts of Africa? The most peaceful country in Africa is Cameroon, and they are apostolic. You know, that's the most peaceful part of Africa, and our whole right there.
All right. Well, Professor Robinson, if I understand, you're from South American continent, correct? Originally.
I'm from Jamaica.
Jamaica. Okay. Yes, sir. And having said that, you're representative of an Afro subgroup, if you will, for the sake of argument here, a conversation, that is reflective of a group that went to that region of the world geographically, whose ancestors originated out of Africa and were brought largely to Haiti's under the French colonies with Napoleon, as he tried to establish himself another nation over there in that region, in the South American region. So do you identify yourself as Jamaican, Professor, if I may ask?
Currently, I identify myself as American. I lived in Jamaica, I identified myself as Jamaican. I didn't know of any Jamaican Africans. We were Jamaican. They weren't African Jamaican or I didn't know of anybody who it wasn't something that I knew. It didn't exist. It might be people doing it today, but it's not that big of an issue as far as I'm concerned in other places. And to 1098's comment about Africa's role in slavery, I had a conversation with people here about reparations. And there are organizations, one organization, it's a national organization, they actually have affiliations and chapters in Africa. And I said, well, in this terrible, terrible, horrific transaction, there were buyers and sellers. And if you're going to hold the buyers accountable and seek reparations, you should also hold the sellers accountable.
Okay.
And this gentleman said, well, what would you do if you were one of these Africans and someone put a gun to your head and told you to give them, you know, your slaves? I'm like, that doesn't, before I could answer, they hung up the phone on me, but that doesn't make sense. And so, Pastor Dockery, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to put a gun to your head. I'm going to take your stuff, and then I'm going to pay you for it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to tell you that I'm coming back again and again and again, and you don't do anything?
Right.
Wouldn't
now,
you move or
right
something?
I like what you're saying, that end part. I don't do nothing? Wait a minute. What's wrong with me? But go ahead. I'm sorry.
And what I'm saying is, let's be honest about things and really, you know, approach things from that vantage point. You can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. If it makes you
That's
feel
right
good and it leads to some really good outcomes, I really don't care what you call yourself. But let's be honest
point
about things. Let's not tell kids that you're descendants of kings and queens. That's not true.
Right.
Everybody
what
could not
wait
be
a minute,
descendant
wait a minute
of a king
wait a
and queen.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
If they're kings and queens, somebody's serving those kings and queens.
What do you
right
mean by that now? Come on now. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Hey, y'all are going too far now, Pastor Paul. Explain that, Professor. What do you mean?
Open mic night. You said it was open mic night.
It's open mic night. What do you mean they're not the descendants of kings and queens? How say you?
How could everyone in any community, in any country, tribe, whatever we want to call it, there's a king and a queen in that back in the day. And
with
everybody
oh
else, we're not kings and queens.
Peasants.
It's
peasants.
So it's impossible for it is impossible for everybody to be a descendant
well
of kings and queens. Impossible.
Hold on. Hold
wow
on. Now, my advisor was Dr. Rivas Mitra at Fisk University, and my senior paper was dealing with those different classifications from Negro to now African American. And what I strive to do is to try to identify and understand sociologically, economically, what were the factors that led to these various classifications, and ultimately people responding to them. Now, what you're telling me, Professor, you're an outcast. And Pastor, are you listening to them, man? What they're telling me is that we shouldn't teach our young people that before coming to America on the Western Coast, there were many people associated with the Malian Empire, right? And there were chiefs and leaders, and many of those people were not, before they were subject to slavery, they were well-known, respected noblemen and women in their land. Y'all telling us we should not teach our young people about that? Come on, help me out with that now.
I didn't say that.
Truth. Now, let's talk about these kings and queens for a minute. Let's go there in London over there. How many kings and queens?
All
them kings and queens?
African kings and queens.
I would see the same thing goes on in there. You know, I mean, he's really going to have a little chief or whatever, but look here. The old saying goes, you got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Now, what are Indians there?
Let me go to
everybody. Wasn't no chief like Professor said. He on
wait
top
a minute,
tonight,
Jeff,
though. All right, Professor.
I'll let Professor defend himself. Go ahead, Professor.
I'm going to leave it up to Outcast. He's doing a great job. It's mathematically
wait a minute
impossible.
Pastor Wallace, help me out, Pastor. I ain't got no help tonight.
Listen,
what about
that,
Pastor Wallace?
If everybody were a king and a queen, who's getting the work done? Who's paying the taxes?
So, now I'm going to make an argument, gentlemen. Y'all get back at me. I'm going to make an argument. Given the tumultuous experience that people who can draw their ancestry directly to those who were enslaved, and I can honestly say I can do that myself, okay, in America. It's important for young people to understand that you were not always your ancestors were not always subject to being dehumanized, to being marginalized, and to being treated as a commodity. But there was a time when you were productive and you were respected universally. And I think that that's really what the underlying motivation is within the black intelligentsia, with its motive to promote and encourage this identification. You don't think that's a good reason, or, I mean, what?
I think it's a good, it's a nice, it sounds nice, it feels good, I go back to what are the outcomes? As we look at these strategies and these tactics, what are the outcomes? Is it working?
You know what?
And
I don't mean to cut you off.
Excellent.
Right. Professor, I think you're hitting on something. When we analyze, gentlemen, what happened in the 60s with the Black Panther movement and the Black nationalist era, they were trying to arrive, Professor, at something. But I would argue that they didn't have a very organized approach to providing results that were not only tangible but sustainable to this present point, which is why the movement died, right? And what you had was a lot of angry people, outcasts, who were looking to kill
exactly.
the white man. And
exactly.
ultimately what they wind up doing is being trapped, Pastor Waller, within in the ghetto in the hood, and the only people they wind up killing either through drugs or through gang violence was one another.
Exactly.
And we see a resurgence of that same mentality and behavior unconsciously being carried out within urban America today, where people, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You get yours, I get mine.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that's good.
So I see the argument that you all are making, but I do hold reservation that there is a need to focus on teaching people about their heritage and origin to help give them a sense of purpose in the future. But at the same time, we don't want to misguide them into thinking that this is going to pop out the sky. You got to work toward that. You
right,
know,
right.
Most of these cats are never going to make it out of off American soil to go to Africa or any other continent. So to tell them that that's what they every waking day should be occupied with thought of, I'm not so sure if we're serving them well.
Right.
Go ahead, 10-9. Then we'll go to Pastor Wallace.
Well, I agree with you on that. You know, I mean, they're continuously... all my life, whatever, you know, Africa, 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 Africa. Come on, man. You know, it's more than Africa. I hear heritage, the Negro heritage or just being, you know, what we are, it goes farther than Africa. I mean, look it up. Go to anthropology. And then, you know, African is in there, but African is not the only one that make up the Negro race. This is something that I say should be stressed. And later on, as you stated, if they want to know more about their heritage, you know, we got a scientific world today. It could be narrowed down. You know?
Okay.
I mean, this is all I say at the end of the day. I am of the Negro race.
Okay. Well, I mean,
I let it be.
Okay. Let me go to Pastor Waller.
No.
Wait, Pastor, you hear us talking, Pastor. What are you thinking, man? What's going across your head right now,
bro? Listen, brother, I tell you, man, it's really interesting because, you know, when I asked that question earlier about what Marvin said, what's going on?
What's really going on?
Man, you yourself, you went to Fisk University.
Yes, sir.
Very interesting time to see. And back when I used to hear about Fisk University way back, and
yes.
what color person qualified to go there was not a brown-skinned
wow.
person. Or a
You're stepping on my toes, Pastor.
Now, I just want to say this right here, man. This is the Fisk University,
uh-huh.
and you had to be almost light and bright in order to be
right.
acknowledged, you
wow.
understand, at Fisk University.
Wow.
Of course, that changed later on. But then I like the word of God, you know, and then because I know there's a lot of confusion going on one way or the other. But I say no wonder Jesus said that a man got to be born again. Now, I wasn't worried about where I'm from or nothing like that. Just get born again. That's what he said. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I just want to just deal with knowing that, man. It's like, what's going on with that? You know, you went to Fisk University, and you know, I mean, you got the groundwork at Fisk University, brother, and you're very smart, so you fit. But during the time, I don't see how smart you are. I think to be notified, you have to be light-skinned. I mean, you know, I might be wrong. That's
what you're describing is the brown paper bag test, as they used to call it at a certain time in American Tennessee history. And that was a practice that was used to determine whether or not you qualified to get in. You're absolutely right. That was a period of time. Now, I don't know what happened to him when they let my fat head ghetto self in from Chicago. I don't know what happened to Fitz, but I was grateful they did.
Yes, sir. You were smart. You sitting right here.
I was just grateful they did.
Yes, sir. That's great. I just thought about that shit, man. Amazing. You know, so,
Pastor and gentlemen? Mm-hmm. It speaks to the greater issue, and I think this is something that Professor always hint to. We have to, collectively, whoever you are, you have to make sure you don't waste your time thinking about things that really don't matter.
Correct.
Right?
Wow.
Right?
Where's going
because
on?
Because
it's happening.
Where all of us are is in the United States of America right now. There are social economic challenges for many people. Some of them we know. But if we're not focused about our efforts and the outcomes of those efforts, in the interest of improving our lives, Professor, where do we find ourselves?
Before I go there, I want to give a great example. If Stormy Daniels wins her case, how does that impact the situation in the black community?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but you know, maybe,
we're more focused on that.
Right.
Hey, Professor, come on, unless you're storming the porn industry or something on the website, I don't really care about her.
That's right.
But we have a lot of us spending a lot of brain cells, energy, time, focusing on that, and that's just an example. Meanwhile, all of the important things that we should be focused on are falling by the wayside, and we continue to get the negative outcomes.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Our children are getting bigger, and the threat to their social demise is becoming greater because they're ill-prepared to function in a greater society outside of the context of your physical house or your little hood, your little neighborhood. When you get out to the larger group of people, you're ill-prepared to compete, you know?
That's right.
But if we waste our time, what happens to us, Professor?
Number one, you're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back, and you are least likely to, not fall by the wayside. There are some people who can recover. The odds tend to stack up against you the longer you wait, and it just gets harder and harder because you have those decades of those negative behaviors that you have to change. And so, and that the earlier we start, the better to help to shape individuals.
Absolutely. Let me stop for a second and say this. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is open mic night on Talk Straight. So you bring up a topic, we'll talk about it. We've just been discussing this idea about the preference for identification as a Negro, black, colored, African-American, things of that nature. And we've had two interesting perspectives on that. I don't know if we're coming somewhere in the middle, but Pastor Wallace is telling us what we should do is to think about what the scriptures say and that there's no respect to persons. What if it was a criteria that you can't be fathead and ugly? What would I do, gentlemen? I mean, where would I go? I'd be
countryless. Hey, Pastor, I would like to say, as you just said, where would you go with that? And then not everybody cares anything about the Word of God. I understand that. But I'm just saying it's available, correct? Okay, now, so if a person know that there's power in words, and then you see what the Word says, and, and person believe that God exists, okay, let's just say that people believe that God exists. That's fine. But when the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, then says, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him.
Acknowledge.
And He had directed the prayer. What's wrong with acknowledging Him in all your ways? If you're not doing it in His ways, then that means you got to do it in your own ways. So I was wondering, is there anything wrong with putting full trust in Him? You know, or is it something that should be just compromise, I would say. Every now and then we put full trust in Him, but today I won't be able to do that. What do you do when it's like that? I mean, because confusion got to come in. If it says that and you don't do it, and you think that it's not valuable because it's not going to fit into what's going on, He says in all your ways. What does all mean? I wasn't very smart in school, but I know He says in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct you fast. And I wasn't on the team. I wasn't on the side. I didn't even mention God years ago. But today, I mean, I can't do anything without letting it be known, God, I don't trust me. I trust You. Fully.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only way you can deal with it.
Well,
and that's not for
anybody,
but I just, it's personal. Now, go ahead.
Excuse me for cutting you off. I was going to say the other day when we were talking about success is not happenstance or it's not a mistake, you know, it's not a gamble. I was talking about the fact that one of the distractors from being successful at anything. And it's not just because you're black, but it happens too often to black people, for the lack of another way of saying it right now, for the sake of our argument, is the media. Professor talked about Stormy Daniels. They talk about Donald Trump. They talk about Nancy Pelosi. They talk about anti-Maxine, right? All these things that when you get through listening to them for 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 hours, you don't have no more money in your pocket. You're no brighter than what you were when you started. And then let's go to some of these shows, that reality shows that are on TV. Consume hours of your time, but yet it provides no additional quality to your livelihood, to your life, to your future. And imagine, these are not just children we're talking about wasting valuable time. Grown folk, chronologically grown folk. Is there something more we can do than get caught up in these nonsensical arguments that we often find ourselves? I'm guilty, and I'm working on doing better. What about that, Cat?
Hey, I mean, I agree with everything. Everything you stated is true. You know, even going back to the professor, you know, they spend the majority of their time indulging in things that are just complete folly, you know, when it comes to the wisdom and things of that nature. You know, they don't, this really is hard for some of them to conquer. They want something easy. They want something to soothe their mind. And folly, you know, folly, same thing as lies. I mean, it works out pretty well. But I refuse to use my time like that. I can find something more productive to use my time with. And that's just the bottom line. Now, what everyone is stating, it's truth, and it's a chronological truth. As the professor said, and everyone else is saying, we should spend our time on things that are more constructive, things that are going to get us just a little bit ahead in life, and I'll hold right there.
Yeah. Let me just stop for a second. Jamal, thank you, Brother Thomas. Annette, bless you. Connor, thank you so much for joining us. Feel free to give us a call. It's open night, open mic. 657-383-0944. Love to hear your question or comment tonight. Or just shoot us some information on text on Facebook, and we'll share that with the open thread of conversation. Gentlemen, Professor, I guess it's been a couple of years ago over here in Nashville at one of the public libraries. I did a major presentation. It was an open community forum and so forth. We were talking about the plight of young men then, African-American young men. And what was interesting is we pointed out the fact that there's over the last 25 years, when you look at the songs that were number one on the Billboard, when you look at the TV shows that was viewed the most by people, and when you look at the most popular food or the most popular fashion or piece of clothing, at the end of the day, all the money that was spent and time in those things Today, we're no better for it. 20 years later, our children have gotten grown, and we're wondering why they're, many of them are caught up in the jungle. I'm trying to be nice in how I'm saying this because I don't want to disparage anyone, but I'm just saying we don't get the best from all of them. This is not everybody. Don't get me wrong. It's not everybody, but too many young people are caught up right now. Professor, what about that? As you teach your students, is that something that's on the forefront of your thought as you're teaching young people now?
Well, I keep stressing it's not just the young people.
Yes,
because
that is
young, most young people don't go get their own money. Somebody's giving them money or somebody's buying them things. Most young people.
Right.
And we have to understand that. The adults, we are the ones who raise these kids. Remember,
yeah.
It takes a village. we are that village. And so we have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, you know, can we do a better job? Because they're learning from us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no question about it. No question about it. So what's wrong with us then? So you saying it's my fault? Hold up. Oh, wait a minute. I just thought about it. I just caught that. You trying to say it's my fault, Professor?
I'm saying it's my fault. I'm saying it's your fault. I'm saying it's because we allow this to continue.
Right.
We are making some strides, but if you look at I look at the facts. I look at the numbers because that helps to gauge progress or lack of progress. And 50 years, and we're having a hard time showing progress in 50 years. You can do a lot in 50 years.
Yeah. Reverend Hulk is watching us. Hopefully he'll be able to join. 657-383-0944. You know, gentlemen, I think what happens is it's hard to look at ourselves in the mirror. And I'm including me in that too now. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anyone else. But it's hard to look ourselves in the mirror and to realize that we've lost critical time. And it makes us stagnated outcasts. To the point that we don't want to go any further because we want to just shut it all down like it doesn't exist. Is that detrimental to us?
Very detrimental. Yes, that's very detrimental. This is why they're walking around the street with the pants down the butt, getting the gang, shoot them up.
Right.
Yes, very detrimental. It's very, very detrimental. Now, conversation was going on earlier. And you mentioned one of the organizations, the Black Panthers. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
And you say, feel with that anger. Let me give you a good example of something. And it's a true story now. I mean, it's not a story, it's true. I was in prison, and you had this guy named Tony. You know, he was, over a little, Muslim organization and things of that nature. And you know how that go, It's all black thing, in the long run, you hate white folk. Well, this particular guy, he had got into it with this white guy, Now, he had the little skinhead. He was part of the little skinhead organization and things of that nature, right? All right, the dude, he started off, I'm talking about fighting real good. I mean, he was weaving and bobbing and dancing. White boy wasn't fighting back, right? All of a sudden, the white boy looked over at another white dude. You know, there was in a little skinhead gang, whatever. The white dude told old white, other white dude, do what you got to do. Guess what? Broke his jaw. Broke the black dude's jaw. Man, I'm getting ready to go home. I'm leaving prison. He come run at me, man. Tony wouldn't help me. I conversation. I said to myself, man, leave that alone. See, because for number one, if people sick. They get filled up with that anger, and things like this happen. Like you said, they're going back to the neighborhood, destroying the neighborhoods and things of that nature. Be careful of the people that you're around, spewing that garbage, spewing that hatred. A lot of them have lost their lives. I mean, they go for the whites, too. join these little clans and things of that nature. You got to commit any crime. Now you got life in prison. Then you want to sit and cry. No, don't cry.
Yeah.
Instead
well,
of spending their time wisely going back to what everyone is saying, including the professor, you're down there in that folly. You know, you're down there in that mischief. You're down there in that hatred. And then what do you get at the end of the day? Nothing. Hurt.
All right.
Dead.
I'm going to ask you gentlemen to follow me for a second. Back to our 6x6 room that is no light. It's just damp echo. And the door is locked on us now. We got 72 hours in this dark room. And we got Little Slick in there. Are y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
Little Slick is strapped with his 9mm now. You understand? And it's fully loaded. All you got is your conversation. Little Slick got his 9 and his fear, his anxiety, and his frustration with the world. Now, we're talking about all these things now. And Little Slick don't know who he is. He don't identify himself really with African or with, Jamaican or anything. All he knows is I'm here and I'm mad as hell, okay? And I'm ready for somebody to feel my pain. Now you got him in a dark room where he can't even see. You've only heightened his fear and anxiety. Pastor Wallace,
right.
You want him to know the word of God, don't you?
You would be nice.
But.
Yes.
It's a butt to that now. He ain't never known nothing about it. All he knows is that 9 and what he can do for when he get into a trap situation. So
yeah,
professor want
knows.
Him to understand that he has to set goals and have outcomes. Outcasts want him to understand that all that is foolishness. But now we're in this room with him, gentlemen. What we going to do?
Bottom line.
Huh?
He may not listen.
Bottom line.
He may not listen to nothing about the word of God.
Okay.
Because he's not aware of it. He may not. I'm not saying that he wouldn't.
Okay.
But still.
That's a good possibility.
You say, what would you do? I mean, that's the thing about, the imagination. You know what I mean? That's all that can be. You know, you never know what he may do. He may not care nothing about the word of God or whatever the reason is. You know, and that's
right.
The thing that I was saying earlier. A lot of people don't care nothing about the word of God in spite of what's going on in life, period. And it's understandable. And you don't have to be in a room like that to be that way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can have all the materialistic things in the world, can be everything in the book, smart, dumb, however you might want to put it, intelligent, illiterate, they might want to claim it to be. But the bottom line is that the word of God is still the word of God, always have been, will be, and that's just what it is. Now, it's about what do I do? In the meantime, do I shun from it because of it? Because you just know I, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll direct your path. But seeing that person wants to, open up to what you have to say. That's not saying that. It just says in all your ways, even to the end, you still got to go all the way. That's one of the moves that I'm talking about right there. And that's not something that I would say you should take lightly. But
I see.
As I said,
I see.
Watch that. You never know what.
Okay. Let me hear about Professor was about to say something. I see you, 8112. How you doing, darling?
Love you. I'm great. Hi, everybody.
Okay. Oh, great.
Let me go to
Professor Robinson, and I'll come right back to you in just a little bit. Professor, what are you going to do, man? We're in the room with him now. Now, Pastor Wallace said he wanted him to accept the word of God, and he acknowledged that it's a good chance he ain't trying to hear that. He got his hand over the trigger now, Professor. What say you? What do we do there?
Well, the thing I want to find out from him is what's he afraid of?
Okay.
And so for me, my base assumption is that this young man has all of the tools and skills that he needs to be successful. That's my going in position. And so he has demonstrated the ability to succeed. So I'm trying to find out what's he afraid of?
Okay.
Because there are all these opportunities out here, but I need to understand what you're afraid of in order to help you to be able to take advantage of these other options.
I see. Okay. And you think he's going to listen to that? In that 6x6 room with his hand on the pistol?
The people that I've been working with, male and female prisoners, young, old, when we have those types of dialogue and conversation, it's more than an hour or two, but it resonates.
But are you? But okay, you heard the conditions under which we're engaging this young man. Now I know it's hypothetical in nature, but it's actually reflective of a very altruistic position. Oftentimes, danger. Okay, but I hear what you're saying. Let me see what Outkast has to say. Come on, Outkast, what's your answer, man? How do we approach LaShawty in that box?
Me and him in that room.
Yeah.
In that dark room. Turn the light
yeah,
on.
Yeah, in that dark room, 6x6.
Turn the light on. Turn my back to him and go.
Ain't no light, man. Wait a minute, ain't no light.
Well, you know, like a thing is it is. Hey.
No, you don't.
So, I mean, if I'm going to get a shot, I'll get a shot anyway, even if I open my mouth. Turn that light on. I mean, you know, see, this is the thing. A lot of things want to be done in the dark instead of coming to the light. Me, pay you no attention at all. First round, no. You start the conversation. You got the gun. You got the flow. Run it. What you got?
Say that again.
What's on your mind, you know? You got the gun.
Right.
You got the flow. In fact, you got the whole room.
So, wait, hold on, let me stop you for a second.
Outkast,
hold on, let me stop you for a second. Are you suggesting that all these grown men, you, me, Professor Robinson, Pastor Waller, should sit down and give this young man the floor and let him lead the dialogue? Is that what you're suggesting right now?
Start it off. You know what I'm saying? Start it off. And then break the ground, and then conversation gets started. I'm not going to come in with my input because, first off, I want to see where you're coming from. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Give me something to work with, you know?
That's interesting.
Give me something to work
you
with.
You know that's a tactic.
You know what I'm
saying? You know that's a tactic that SWAT teams use in hostage negotiating, don't you? You realize that, don't you, Outkast?
Okay.
What they do is allow the subject to recognize that right now you've caused this situation. And whether we like it or not, you are in control of which direction it go into, good or bad.
That's right.
So the hostage negotiator wants to bring out of them, and what they're doing, Professor, is buying time for them to deflect and to de-escalate their fear and anxiety and apprehensions. And Pastor Waller may be able to sing a song. He may be able to sing Old Negro Spiritual or something. And then where that come from?
Yeah.
That comes from the Word of God. Yeah. Are you walking with me, Pastor Waller?
Sir, yes, sir.
Here's the catch, gentlemen. It is our experience in the room that he needs the most. And perchance the reason all of us are locked in this dark room with him is because something or somebody knows he needs to benefit from what we know. He just thinks his gun is going to resolve all of his problems. Now, who's going to take the gun from him first?
He's going to take it from himself. Better yet, he might unload and say, hey, this ain't the route for me to go.
Hey, you know what I'm going to say?
At the end of the day.
Why does he need to get rid of the gun?
Why does he need to get rid of the gun, Outkast?
Because it's only going to cause further harm. You know, he's already caused his harm being in the position that he's in. And continuously carrying that gun, it's only going to just, you know, take him to places that he don't want to go, you know, at the end of the day. And I'll let Professor respond, if you don't mind.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask the Professor. Why would you encourage him to hold on to the gun?
It's not the gun. It's the individual and the intent, but you know, how they choose to use that gun. And so he can get a gun and go in the army and, you know, protect the country. He can have a gun as a police officer. He can. And so it's not the gun. It's you know, your intent, your desires, your passion.
I think we're getting somewhere. Let me see how 8112, how what we're saying falls on her ears. What do you think about what you hear in 8112? We've been talking about the four grown men locked in a 6x6 dark room for 72
right.
hours with a young man who all he knows is how to resolve his problem with his 9mm. You got the grandbaby with you?
Yeah, and I'm getting ready to put him out the room for a second.
Oh, no, okay. So what do you think about what you've been hearing?
Okay, yes, sir. My point is
what do you
this.
Think about what you've been
I
hearing?
Mean, I haven't heard the whole dialogue for tonight, but
yeah,
I
feel but what
like
you heard.
This,
tell me about what you heard.
I heard the part where you said four young men locked in a dark room in a jail cell, and the only way he can figure his way out was violence. Meaning a gun.
Well, no. Oh, no, not quite.
So
it's not for young men. It's, okay, hold on. Listen to me. It's Pastor Waller. It's Professor Robinson. It's
yes, sir.
Brother Outcast and myself. And
mm-hmm.
a young man, not in a jail cell, but in a dark 6x6 room.
Oh, wow.
And they done locked the door on all of us. So it's five
okay.
of us in there.
Okay.
The young man is the only one with a gun. And we've been trying to figure out how do we get him, how do we come out of there alive with everybody?
As Professor Wallace said the other day, he told you, not the other day, but last week, he spoke to a young man.
Uh-huh.
And the young man, and I got two young men here tonight
okay.
For y'all.
Okay.
And I'm sorry I clicked in so late, but however, he was saying something in reference to the fact that he talked to this young man, and the young man came to where he was trying to get him at.
Ah.
And so sometimes the message that you put out there may mean a whole lot to somebody that's something in their life has gone terribly wrong.
Okay.
It has gone terribly wrong, and if you make one slight mistake, then it could just create a whole lot of problems for him as well as others because you won't be able to get him out of that dark room.
Interesting.
Or that dark place he's in. I am no therapist. Don't play like one. I'm not no psychiatrist, but I am a mother.
No, you're doing pretty good right now, though. You're doing pretty good right
but
now.
But I am a mother of five sons.
I see.
And everything
okay.
that somebody else is on the outside looking in, don't throw stones. Because you might live in a glass house, and some stones might get thrown back at you. There's a whole lot of young men need a whole lot of help from their elders, their peers, their mothers, their fathers, their people don't even know them. It takes a village.
Mm.
It takes everybody to run a village. Everybody.
Okay. What about that, Pastor Waller? Has she summarized us pretty good, Pastor?
I think she put it in perspective, you know what I mean? I mean, that's just the very approach that I would think that is, you know, to be carried out. You know, you have to consider. I don't know what's on his mind. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know any of that, but
sir.
It's just some new situation. And
yes,
I like the way she
put it. The young man that killed himself not long ago, y'all heard me howling and crying like a puppy. But I got a couple of young men, one of them want to make an input if they may, Pastor.
Come on, tell them to come
sure.
on. Hold on 1 second, Pastor.
Second,
tell them to come
please.
On. Sure. Welcome to the conversation, young man.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us here. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
You're the winner tonight. Game ball go to
yes,
you,
sir.
Man. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
All right. I'm 27, man. My birthday on Saturday. I'm going to turn 28, May 19th.
All right.
But past
Happy
that, though, man, I respect this on airline channel that y'all doing and everything like that. My mom been tuning in. She told me about it. I've been listening with her a little bit. I've been in and out. But at the same time, I want to say this, though. Like, right now, we are on devil playgrounds, though, for everybody, though. It ain't just the youth. It's the elders, too, and the wise men's ever. So, yeah, I appreciate y'all having a wise counsel to the point that you got to have an ear to hear to actually tune in.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But as far as that, though, we all know the light illuminate anything that's in darkness. So you got to have a light in you to even shine.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes,
that's my message on here, though, man.
Right,
my brother's doing is that light.
Yeah.
And that's the only way that's going to lead us and my fellow brothers out that darkness.
Outright. All right.
Man.
All right.
That's
wisdom
right.
speaks volumes, and that comes through knowledge. But wisdom is superior over knowledge.
Yes, sir. Because
you could learn a lot of things, but that don't mean that's good for you, though. You need to learn what's right.
All right. You know what, sir? You done just preached to me. I can say amen now.
Yeah, I can say amen on that myself, brother. Talking about that life.
I say amen.
Amen.
No, I appreciate that. You're so absolutely right. And at the end of the day, it's really not what color you are. That's what we started the conversation with. It's not what part of the world geographically you come from. It's not how much money you got, how much education you got. It's how willing you are to deal with the circumstances that confront you right then. And I use that analogy of the dark room because when you look at it, there are people who have four corners of their life, and all they get is negative echoes, and they can't seem to get out of the frustration. And what you're saying is so true. Only light can run away dark. They both can't stay in the same place at the same time. So let your light so shine. Be in me. I didn't come to preach, but I felt my help. You done got me stirred up now, little brother.
That's right.
Thank you, Uncle.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, he spoke the word. He spoke the word. That's what he was speaking. He was speaking the word. In other words, because he said, don't be ashamed of it. In other words, you know, you got to let it shine. So make it known. Don't pretend as if it don't even exist. So the brother saying, and he said, you got to reach out. You have to reach out.
Right.
He didn't say just about the youth. He was talking about the elders as well. You're walking around in darkness, rejecting the power of the word of God. I mean, that's sickness, man. And I like what you said, brother, about the light now. You know, if you got a light in you, you have to have the light in you. And then it'll come out of you. And I appreciate that. I needed to hear that, brother. So I thumbs up, man. Thanks for saying that.
Keeping it 100, all right, man. We appreciate you. Come join us again sometime on Tuesday or Thursday night.
All right. I will do that.
Okay. Thank you so much, 8112, for sharing with us. Let me go to Outkast for a second. Outkast.
Yeah.
I like what you were saying early on in our conversation. How far can we go with realizing that you're not getting rid of your origin? You can't ever do that, right?
That's right.
But you have to really take stock of where you are today. How far can we go with taking that approach? Because some people are fighting over, you know, even black and white. Some people don't want to be called black. They want to be called African-American. Some of them want to be called Afro-American, right? And we can't even come together on that basis. So to your point earlier, how far can we go if we set all of that to the side for a second?
We can, I think we can move a lot farther ahead. You know, I mean, all our lives coming up as being of the Negroid race has always been Africa, Africa, Africa. If it's not Africa, the white man, white man, white man, white man, white man. And going back to what everyone has stated, we lose focus on ourselves and we fall behind. Don't get caught up, like they said, in the hype. Do what you need to do for yourself. Stay focused and move ahead. You know, America has done more for me than Africa has done for me. I was born in America, educated in America. You know, a children. At this point, everything about me is American. You know.
Okay.
You know, like I said, I used to hate it. Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off. We just got a a statement from Brian Holt, who's watching us online.
Okay.
He says, feel free to chime into this, anybody on the panel. You can never have forward progress with backwards thinking. Now, I got to agree with him. What y'all think about that?
You said what, backwards thinking?
You can never have forward progress with backward thinking.
Okay, Pastor, I'm going to intervene and ask you.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Yeah,
I think what he's saying is
what?
You can't move forward if you're stuck in yesterday and it won't allow you to see any further than what's in front of you. In other words, you're afraid to take a risk, to take a new step, to try something different than what you're comfortable with, that sort of thing. I think that's what
okay. May I say something? I know I'm the only woman.
No. Go ahead, baby girl. Go ahead.
Only woman on the panel, but I will say
you're the prettiest one on the panel.
Real quick. Well, I love you too. My point is, how do you know where to go? When you've only been where you have been.
Wow. Now, see, that's
how
what
do you
Professor
know where
Robinson
to go?
Is
everybody
trying to tell
you. Everybody can say what they want to say, but how do you know where to go when the only life lessons you've ever had is the way you was taught and brought up? That goes for anybody. If you taught high class things, that's what you know. And so you're going to tell somebody that they got all that something different, and they don't understand. I keep saying this to y'all. But not just y'all, who's ever listening.
Okay.
It's not that I'm uneducated. I got very, very educated people in my life. That's not my point. How do you know where to go when you've been where you've been?
All right. We only have 11 minutes now, believe it or not. Okay, hold on, Outcast. Don't lose your thoughts.
The young man
Professor,
say
will you respond to that for me,
done.
Please? Professor, right quickly, and then I want to hear from Outcast. We got about time is getting away from us, man. I don't know what happened to all the time here. Professor, do you mind responding to that question?
I think you answered it. Well, to anyone Paul's question about how do you know where to go, I'm going to say you do it like you do anything else in life. You learn from others. You find people to emulate. You find mentors because that's what you're doing today. You're going someplace. We're all going somewhere. The question is, where do you want to go and who's going to help you in order to get there? Everybody's going somewhere. Guarantee you. The question
may I please
is
interrupt,
is that
though,
you want to go?
Okay, sir.
Okay, go ahead right quickly because time is getting away. Go ahead, Carla. Go ahead.
Real fast. All right. That's what I got out of that terminology. I feel like, man, you can only chase your shadows in the daylight. When at night, then you lost it. And if you ain't looking to the light, you'll never find your way out that darkness.
Wow. I like that analogy, brother. I like that analogy. Wow. I'm going to have to use that one. I'm going to have to borrow that one, okay? That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, well stated. Ryan Hope has said, dysfunction never breeds or give birth to wholeness. And so, and let me, I don't want to speak for him at the risk of trying to speak for him. I think what he's saying is, whenever there's a breakdown or there's a problem, you can't get any result, positive or productive results until you fix the problem, if that makes sense to everybody. Appreciate that, Brother Ho. I'm sorry, we're supposed to go to Outcast and get him to respond to that. Go ahead, Outcast. Apologize. Got about 9 minutes.
Professor Robinson, he stated everything that I want to state. But at the end of the day, you know, we're speaking to, you know, the young man spoke about darkness and things of that nature. But the darkest hour is before the break of day. See?
Okay.
And I want to state this, and I'll be done with it. As black people, what in a sense, from my point of view, what we what people have been doing for generations is trying to get us to live in the past. No, you got to get past the past. Now, I'm gonna go with Reverend Hogue on that. Stop living in the past and get with the future. You know, I mean, it's a whole lot to be done. But as stated, Professor Robinson stated everything that I wanted to state, and I hope.
I agree because as Pastor Dockery said, and he plays songs all the time from what I've been listening to from the past, because the past is your future.
Ah.
If you
now, hold on,
to the past, how are you going to have a future?
81-12. Frederick Douglass would agree with you. Believe it was he that said, if you don't learn from your history, you're doomed to repeat it. Well, that's a good argument. Why y'all
but
bring this up in 8 minutes? Oh, man, we could have really had a good conversation on that. But great point.
And I wish I would have called earlier.
That's okay.
But
that's
don't
right.
get it construed.
Point.
Now, don't get it construed. What I'm saying is you have negative history and you have positive history.
Hold on, 81,
most of the
listen
stuff
to
that's being taught now is all negative. You know what I'm saying? Now we can go
oh,
back
I
to Frederick Douglass and the rest of them. These were educational people. You know what I'm saying? They weren't talking about your ancestors running through the jungle with spears and all that things of that nature. It was all about educating yourself, moving yourself forward. There's good teaching and there's bad teaching. And I hope.
I see. So
and
your
I'll
point
play the
is
blues for you.
Yeah, your point is basically that you don't want any dysfunctional or information that's not usable to be stuck on talking about the past, but you want to use information that will catapult you into a positive point or some
exactly.
better place. I think that's a good summation
exactly.
of what you're saying. Okay. All right.
I've always
right.
taught my sons.
Go ahead. 8112.
I call it
what'd
the
you
power
want to say?
Of positive thinking. If you think negatively, you will be negative.
Okay,
I say the power, despite every obstacle that may be faced in front of you in your path. Everybody ain't going to understand that. But if you think positively and you talk to the divine, then you come out on top most of the time.
All right. What MC Hammer say? Can't touch that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't touch that. God doing that. You can't touch
that. We better roll down here. We got a few calls. I want to get a final thought from everybody before we get out of here. And we got about 6 minutes. We're gonna turn to Pastor Waller, and then we'll bring it close. You've been listening to Talk Straight. This has been Open Mic Night tonight on Talk Straight. This is your host Reverend Dockery, and our co-host Pastor Waller. But let's start with you, 1098. Final thought, right quick. Give me about 30 minutes there, sir.
I enjoy the program, but sometimes I do get educational. But understand this right here. Depending on what branch I'm in, I take two negatives, turn them into a positive. See, this is what I'm saying. Now,
okay.
And I hold now. You know that now that stand to be true, right, Reverend Doctor?
Yes, sir.
Depending on what branch you're in, I take two negatives and make a positive.
That's right. Positive thinking.
Roger that. Okay. All right. Go ahead, 1098. Since you got the flow. Wrap us up here.
No, I'm done. Hopefully, Reverend Hogue will call in now. You know,
he hasn't called yet. I'm not sure. Maybe he'll join us next Tuesday or Thursday, 7 o'clock
good.
P.M. We'll announce
okay.
that. But go 8112.
Okay.
Give us
yes,
a final
sir.
Thought right quick.
What's my final thought? I think you guys are doing a wonderful job. And it's educational for me as a mother of five sons, that had five sons. I still got them in heart. But I listen in and I tune in, and I brought one of my sons, and he's one of the younger ones for a reason. Because I said, what you guys are doing is very inspirational, it's a positive thing, and it's powerful.
Okay.
It's so powerful that they got I'm listening, and I continue to call. And even though I ask myself, why do you keep calling this? This is all about men, but it's not.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not about just men. And I'm going to wrap this up real fast because I know you got to go. You guys
got
to go. But I love y'all for what y'all are doing. I respect you guys for what you're doing. And I appreciate you guys for the power of positive thinking.
All right. Thank you. Do me a favor. Pass my number on to him. I'd love to get him on and have him as a guest on the show.
I sure will.
All right. All right. Go ahead, Professor, right quick. We got 3 minutes, man. Time is, woo, boy. I hate we got run up against time. Professor, if you will, just give us a final thought to walk away with tonight.
Yeah, I think for me, the last part, talking about the past, and we reference past strategies as it relates to, how we called ourselves and what we, different things that we did. And let's learn from it. As you said, let's learn from the past. Let's look at why those things didn't work or why, what are the outcomes? What should the outcomes be? And make sure that we learn from that. So when we create whatever we create, we're creating with that lens. That's what we've learned from the past so that these things are going to be more successful, whatever they are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Sorry to rush everybody. Pastor Waller, go ahead and wrap us up here, man. We 2 minutes, about two minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah, that's great, man. I thank God for everybody who had a chance to talk, and for those that were listening and commenting. We really appreciate you. And we thank God for you as well. Now, the number one thing that I like to leave everybody with is that the Word of God says, Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, as well as forever. And you have to utilize the power that comes from that. I thank God for the Word of God saying, and this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. In other words, nothing wrong with recalling about the past in order for to utilize it for the upcoming and make effective and make it something that would be fruitful for other people that don't know anything about what goes on in the past. So they won't have to get caught in what I call a trap for so many years. And we just gonna keep lifting up power of the name, because the Word of God also says where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, that he said he would be in the midst of us. So we always need him in the midst. And watch how the power of God move on every situation.
Right.
That's my comment.
Right. Thank you, sir. www.bfcinstitute.com. Please go there. Learn more about us. And we appreciate our Facebook followers here. Appreciate your dialogue. Your conversation. Certainly want to invite you to come back and join us at 7 o'clock. We air Tuesday night and Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m., with the caveat that as a candidate now in political office, we'll probably be modifying our Tuesday night sometimes, but we'll try to keep our Thursday night solid. Appreciate every one of you for joining us. I hope my good friend 8112 get her son to call us. I want to hear more from him. He kind of got me messed up there. Your brother talking about you can chase your shadows in the daytime, but at night ain't no sun to produce the shadow. So you just running in the dark. I want to hear more about that. I want to hear more about that. We'll be back Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're signing off until that time.
Praise the Lord. God, good things. All the time. And all the time, God is good.